Our gospel this Holy Trinity Sunday comes from the Gospel of John in the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I have said to you that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Paul writes to the Romans, "We also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us." I think that this is the perfect place for us to start this Holy Trinity Sunday, because when I think about trying to explain the Holy Trinity, the first thing that comes to mind is the term suffering. As in, I'm going to make you suffer through some really complex theology today. But don't worry, after you suffer through this complex theology, you'll be able to endure my really bad Trinity jokes, and you'll even have the character to chuckle at a couple of them. In fact, you might even say that this is actually going to result in hope that this sermon is almost over. It all makes sense. Well, it makes more sense than the Holy Trinity sometimes makes. Now, if you remember that when we approached this topic last year, and of course you all remember what I said last year, because who doesn't remember every sermon I've preached intimately? You might remember I said something along the lines of the Holy Trinity being something that we can't fully understand because we finite people can't possibly understand the infinite nature of God. And I still believe that. God is so much bigger than us, even as we are able to define God through Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that all that this three-in-one can accomplish and how this three-in-one interacts with the Trinity and with us, well, the details of it manage to evade us. Now, fortunately, Paul also writes in our Romans text today, "We are justified by faith," which means the exact nature of how we believe what we believe isn't all that critical to us. We don't all have to have doctorates in systematic theology to earn the right to be reconciled to God. We have already been reconciled through the death and resurrection of the Son, Jesus Christ. And through that reconciliation, the Holy Spirit has indeed entered our lives, giving us hope through the resurrection promise and a relationship with God the Father, creator of the universe and creator of us. Truth be told, however, I think that this very fact that we were created by a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, says a lot about the nature of the creation that God has created. Our reading from the book of Proverbs today tells us the story once again of creation through the eyes of wisdom, the first of God's creations and co-creator alongside God in the forming of the world. It is this wisdom that exists to create good order for creation. It is this very same wisdom that rejoices in the goodness of creation and delights in the human race. Many Christian theologians have taken this idea of Lady Wisdom and repurposed her as an early understanding of the Holy Spirit. And if this is the case, this is another perspective that shows that God was in relationship with God's self, collaborating in the very act of creation. And if God created in collaboration, in relationship, then we believe that all God created was created to be in relationship. In the very first story of creation, when God confers with the holy courts of heaven in the creation of humanity, God calls the human race into relationship. God calls on humanity to relate to one another, to form relationships and families. And God calls on humanity to relate to the world, to be stewards and crafters of the world that God gave into our care. When we speak of the reconciliation that God gives us through Jesus Christ, we usually think of it in terms of reconciliation solely between God and us. But if we are fashioned after a God who is in relationship with God's self in the nature of the Trinity, then our full reconciliation only comes when we are reconciled with the created world as well, our sisters and our brothers, fellow children of God, and the created world in which we know that God takes delight. So if we are reconciled to God, if we have been given the promise of salvation through Christ's death and resurrection, how do we engage in the full reconciliation of the human race and of all creation? I'll be honest, it's pretty obvious that full reconciliation has yet to happen. We aren't all sitting in circles singing Kumbaya. The violence here in Albuquerque that we hear of on a weekly, sometimes daily basis kind of makes it apparent that we've still got a long way to go on this reconciliation front. And that doesn't even begin to address the places around the world where war is still ongoing. Unfortunately, we live in a finite world. And when we engage in the finite, when we are encountering people and things that exist in our understanding of time, then reconciliation will always be incomplete. Because only the eternal can remain entirely reconciled. Now, what I mean by that is that we believe in a God who exists beyond boundaries of time, and since God exists beyond the boundaries of time, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So if we have been reconciled to God, forgiven and set free in a single moment of creation through Jesus' death and resurrection, then we are reconciled to God for all eternity. For God is unchanging yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And through the unchanging God's promise to us, we find that we ourselves are the ones that are still changing, still growing. Our encounter with God has and will always change us. It doesn't mean that we'll ever be perfect, but just because we can't achieve perfection doesn't mean that we should stop continuing to strive for the work of reconciliation in our world. It doesn't mean that we should stop trying to live in right relationship with one another and with the world that God created. It simply means that salvation doesn't rely on us. The reconciliation of all creation doesn't completely rely on us. But God is still completing that work of reconciliation through us. For through Christ we have been restored to a right relationship with God, and this relationship cannot ever truly be broken. For the Holy Spirit still calls and still builds up God's church. And we, God's holy people, God's celebrated creation, are invited to continue the call. A call to bring forth reconciliation and hope for all the world who desperately longs for the restoration of all that God has put into place. We are still working on it. We're still being reconciled to each other. But God's holy reconciliation still works through us. May we trust in His reconciliation and carry it on to all eternity. Amen.